Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Glory to Jesus. Today we speak about the promise of forgiveness. And our Bible text is from Luke chapter 6, verse 37. It says, "Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven." Amen. Mm-hmm. If forgiveness is divine, does someone have to be a saint? Forgiveness is the stuff of everyday heroes, the ultimate measure of internal peace. Forgiveness is a choice you have to make over and over again. It's not done with forgiving once. You have to forgive again and again. When Peter asked Jesus, "How many times should I forgive?" He said, "Seven times, 70 times." Forgiveness can be a gift to yourself or to others. It may be something you receive, but it can also be a quality that describes a relationship where you must be capable of self-forgiveness in order to forgive others. If hope gives you wings, forgiveness is often what you will need to get off the ground. Forgiveness is best cultivated as an ongoing practice. A practice, something you have to learn more and more. Sometimes it's difficult to understand what makes us resentful and angry. So it helps to forgive as a form of investing in yourself in a peaceful future. You can become more forgiving, but as all positive solutions, it requires a sustained effort and a significant energy, investment of energy, if we are to move in the direction of a lasting change. Forgiveness is often defined as an individual voluntary internal process of letting go and feelings of letting go of feelings and thoughts of resentment, bitterness, anger, and the need for vengeance and retribution towards someone who we believe has wronged us, including ourselves. Both forgiveness and revenge are part of human nature. These capacities can be altered, which gives us hope that we can make the world a more forgiving and a less vengeful place. Forgiveness can be initiated by different means and can be a result of changes in relation to the offender's behavior or the victim's behavior, a willful decision, emotional experience or expression, and spiritual expression or spiritual experience. Some of us are more forgiving than others, and forgiveness can be conceptualized as a personality trait, as an aspect of more complex enduring quality. There are several definitions of forgiveness that emphasize different aspects of it and represent of the many of the existing models of understanding and approaches to forgiveness. Forgiveness is a decision. It's a decision. It is a willful decision to forgive, and it's based on our willpower. If someone says, "I cannot forgive," then you know it is a lie, because the person should say, "I don't want to forgive. That's my decision not to forgive." Forgiveness means to let go of resentment and bitterness. Forgiveness is not always the end of emotional pain and hurt. Forgiveness is viewed as an act of the will, a choice to let go or to hold on. You can separate your thoughts of resentment and bitterness from feelings of hurt. They are two different things. A person must have a form of emotional readiness to forgive before they are likely to be receptive for forgiving. The process of forgiveness may take many forms. Forgiving is not a pardoning or somebody just saying, "Oh, sorry, I did something. Sorry, it is wrong." It's not an excusing of an offense also, or forgetting about it. It's also different from reconciliation, although that can take place as forgiveness in a forgiveness process. To forgive is different from emotional experience of forgiveness. Forgiveness expects a change over time. Forgiveness should change our attitude into a forgiving attitude. When it comes to religion or our Christian faith, many think they need a mediator who will intercede for them. Some pray to Mary that she would intercede for us. Some think they have to perform certain acts that they will be forgiven. And some people, they think money will do it, and so they donate large sums to churches or to charities. But forgiveness cannot be bought. There is nothing we can do to make forgiveness happen. Paul wrote about works and faith, and he said in Romans 3, verse 28, "Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law." Therefore, forgiveness from God comes first by faith. That is the first thing. Jesus told his disciples the Lord's Prayer. In Matthew 6, 12, he said, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Many people, they are reciting this prayer. They recite, but their heart is unforgiving. Jesus continued in verse 14, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. If you forgive, he will forgive you." You may agree with this part and say, "I forgive, so I am forgiven." But as we see from the introduction, forgiveness is a much more far-reaching, It implies a change of character. If you are forgiven, you receive many benefits. Many benefits. Spiritually, physically, and psychologically. Even psychologists, they come to the point of forgiveness. And they say, if you don't forgive, you are getting sick. Unforgiveness, on opposite, causes many psychological, physical disorders. Psychological and physical disorders. And also causes damage to your social contacts. Jesus continued about forgiveness in verse 15. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. If you don't forgive, the Father in heaven will not forgive you. As long as you cherish the grudge and anger and revenge in your heart, God cannot forgive you because these feelings are sin. There is a story of one person who forgave. The story is that of Richard Moore, who was blinded by a rubber bullet fired by a British soldier when he was only 10 years old. He never regained his sight, but he went on to live a full life and devoted himself to the cause of promoting forgiveness and peace. He credits his family and community with bringing him up in a way that cultivated forgiveness and closeness. His account of what happened, however tragic it is, has a positive tone, and he is full of gratitude toward the people in his life. There are no expression of anger about the incident that left him blind for life. Somehow, even as a child, Richard Moore knew he would be hurting himself by being resentful. No matter how much you have been wrong, there is no reason for not forgiving. Jesus said, if you don't forgive, you will not be forgiven. If you are not forgiven, you go to hell. Many are destroying their happiness and lock the heaven's doors simply because they are not willing to forgive. It is wisdom, not weakness, when you forgive. Refuse to permit hatred and bad feelings come into your heart. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 and 37. It says, in your anger do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. Many crimes are done by anger. But this verse says, do not give the devil a foothold. If you give him a foothold, he will come. Because if you do, I feel sorry for what will happen to your life. Forgiveness has results. And an unforgiving spirit is not forgiven. It is sin before God, and you can't sleep well because unforgiveness destroys your spirit, soul, and body. The Christians refuse to cherish hatred by all the forgiving at once. So when something happens, straight away forgive it. Don't keep it in your heart. In that way, you maintain peace and conquer the one who has wronged you. Jesus told the parable of a servant who owed his master 10,000 talents. He pleaded with his master, and his master forgave him the whole debt. Now, How much is 10,000 talents? It's 160 times your whole year's wage. What you earn during the whole year, 160,000 times more. That's how much he owed. When he found a fellow servant owing him 10 denarii, which is about 100 days' wage, he put him in prison. Because he didn't forgive this little, the small amount, the whole big debt came back on him. If you don't forgive, you will not be forgiven. There is a story of an old black woman who sold apples in the street. One day, a rough man ran against her purposely, upset the basket. He stood back and watched how she was gathering the apples, expecting her to curse him. But she said, "God forgive you, my son, as I do." The man was shocked, and suddenly he realized his mean conduct. He pulled money from his pocket and gave it to her. He said, "Please take, mother." He called her, the black woman, he called her mother. "Forgive me, mother. I will never do such a mean thing again." There is power in the forgiving spirit. It plucks the sting of wrath and spreads an atmosphere of love instead. Many say, "I forgive, but I cannot forget. That is not forgiveness. Somebody wrote in an album, "I have learned in my life two rules of prudence. First, to forgive much, and second, to never forget." Another person saw that and wrote, "As for me, I have learned to forget much and to ask for forgiveness." It's the difference. Our forgiveness must be as genuine as God desired to forgive us. If you are not forgetting, you are not forgiving. To forgive means to blank out, as it had never happened. Blank out. As long as you're forgetting, as long as you're not forgetting, you are always open to wrath and anger whenever you think about this thing. In Isaiah 43:25 it says, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and remember your sins no more. And remember your sins no more. If you want God to remember your sins no more, you first have to forget the things that people have done against you. Real forgiveness remembers no more. If you constantly remember, hate grows always when you think, "Oh, he did this, he did that. I don't talk to him anymore because he said this and that. Yes, I have forgiven him, but I will never forget, and he will see what I will do against him." That is not forgiveness. Therefore, God will not forgive you. Therefore, you go to hell. In hell, you find many Christians who say, "I have forgiven, but I never forgot." Only the person who has forgiven and forgotten can receive divine forgiveness. You can have certainty of the promise of forgiveness if you fulfill the condition and forgive other people. Luke 6:37 says, forgive and you will be forgiven. Forgive and you will be forgiven. If you realize your own unworthiness and your need for God's forgiveness, then you have to forgive others first. This is real surrender to God. Real surrender to God. And is essential for your salvation. After a sea battle between French and the English fleets, in which England was victorious, the Lord Nelson, he captured the French officer. The French officer approached Lord Nelson and reached out his hand, offered his hand. But Nelson said, first you give me your sword, and then you give me your hand. We must yield up our sword of pride and stubbornness before we have the right to take the hand that was nailed to the cross. And thank God, forgiveness is permanent. Sin is blotted out forever. In Micah chapter 7, verse 19, it says, you will again have compassion on us. You will treat our sins, you will tread our sins underfoot and hurt all our iniquities into the depths of the sea. God is casting your sin in the depths of the sea. But there are people that are hiding a submarine. They go and dive to bring up that stinking sin again. God does not. He will never remind you of your sin. The devil will remind you. He will remind you, oh, you have done this and that. But God will never remind you of sin. If you have repented of sin by faith in Jesus Christ and asking for forgiveness, then sin is blotted out, never to be seen again. If you continue in doubt, you doubt God. Some Christians ask for forgiveness every day for the same sin. Maybe I suffer because I did something 2-3 years ago. And some feel that God is not forgiving certain sin. This is lack of faith in God. When I was in London, a girl came to the altar after every service. Every time they had a service, she came forward crying. She came to the altar. She never got victory. Always crying. Every service. This lack of faith. Your sins. It's good when you cry for your sin. But then you repent. And you receive forgiveness. And you accept it. You believe it. Your sin shall never haunt you on Judgment Day. At the judgment seat, when all sin is uncovered, you don't have any. Because you are forgiven. Your sin is blotted out. And if it is, Jesus stands as your defender, showing your record made white by the blood of Jesus Christ. Is there somebody here who didn't forgive to somebody else? Is your heart anxious, restless, bitter, or sad? Then, for you, there is this message of hope. the promise of forgiveness. God is ready. He's willing to forgive you. If you have been cherishing grudge against anyone, if you have allowed bitterness to nest in your heart, put it out right now. Determine here and now to pull it away. To put it away. Cast out your unforgiving and unforgetting spirit. Then you will be able to obtain forgiveness for yourself. When you eventually forgive and forget, you shall have rest. You shall be set free. Turn to God and Spirit and in prayer. Seek God for forgiveness. Seek God for forgiving you that you didn't forgive before. Come to Him and He will forgive your sin. You will blot them out. Never remember them again. He will give you freedom.